Day Tuesday, and then this weekend we went down to Brooklyn and cleaned the church. And it was Chris and Nick and myself. We went down, and it was interesting. It was a church that's been there since 1925. This pastor's been there for 34 years, and he didn't know how to throw anything away. Because what he wanted to do was serve his community. And he thought by serving his community meant being the storage house, it meant being the garbage house, meant being the, I don't know, whatever kind of house. And so when we get there, there's a dumpster out front, and we go in and we just observe the situation. And we hauled off three roll-offs. And if you don't know what a roll-off is, it is a very long dumpster. Like one of the long ones that go on the back of the trailers, the trucks, long trucks, not a little box now. The long ones that you can drive your car in. And we loaded three of them Saturday. They've loaded two before we got there, plus all the U-Hauls, 24-foot U-Hauls that they packed up and moved out. And I have some video and pictures to show you later at the end of the service. But we went down there to serve not just our community, but outside of our community. And that's what we're going to talk about today. The title of the message today is Create a Christmas That Serves Your Community. You know, last week we talked about creating a Christmas where you are with your family, and that your family is going to spend time, you spend time with your family, and you don't go in debt, and you just love on each other, and so on and so forth. And so what we want to do is, this week, we want to teach you how to serve your community. Make a difference. You know, the economy's hitting everybody. I mean, it's hitting everybody pretty decent. And New York, and from the studies and the people that I've talked to, New York is usually, especially Albany, is usually the last place to really feel the crunch because they're so state-driven, you know. I mean, everybody's usually employed by the state and so on and so forth. And so now the state's starting to feel the effect, and now the people are starting to feel the effect. So it takes a while, but it drifts this way, and it's coming this way. And what I want to do this year is I want to encourage you to have a different Christmas than what you would normally have. A normal Christmas is to go out shopping where all the madness is and all the people are, you can't get through the aisles, and you just remember you want to load your cart full of water and just kind of use it as a battering ram to get somebody else's cart out of the way. To avoid that, and this year I want to challenge you to serve your community. Give Christmas to them rather than building Christmas for yourself. And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you open up your Bibles, we're going to be in Mark. And we're going to bounce around quite a bit to just through several verses. I normally don't do this. You guys know, normally I get into a passage and we kind of break it down. But today is more of a topical. And so we're going to bounce in Scripture a little bit. Anybody here need a Bible? You don't have one? You forgot it? Whatever it is. If you need one, just raise your hand. And we'll make sure that we get you a Bible over here. And then we'll make sure that you have one. We're going to bounce through Scripture. If you need a Bible, those are yours to keep. If you already have one at home and you just happen to forget it, then if you would, leave that one for the next person that does not have one. Mark chapter 10, verses 44 and 45. Let's look at that. I got to slow my brain down. I'm still in transitioning mode of everything, and then with the ice that hit, I messed up my knee moving furniture, and then come out of the house today, and it's ice. And so, you know, when you step on ice, especially when you have dress shoes on, I'm going to pound nails in the bottom of these boots and treat them like studded tires, you know. But I get outside, and of course, my wife already warned me, honey, it's very icy out there. And you're like, yeah, I know. It's icy, I'm prepared, look, I'm the man, it's not an issue, it's all good. And I step outside, and I didn't fall, but I did that Marmaduke sprawl thing, you know what I'm saying? And you're balancing yourself, and now you got to use muscles in your legs that you haven't used in years to pull them back together. That's what I did, and so it didn't help today going through all of the snow and the ice, but I'm so glad that you guys made your way here. What a blessing it is to have you here. Mark 10, 44 and 45, it says, "And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many." Guys, sometimes what happens is we take the mentality that we're better than what we are. And I hate to say this, but nobody in here is as good as we think we are. All of us should be servants. And we live in a society that says get all you can get and be served rather than to serve others. And so we get lost in the process of trying to obtain rather than give. Lost in the process of trying to be recognized as somebody rather than being a nobody and just putting ourselves out there like Christ would put himself out there. And that's what we're going to talk about today. You know, Jesus came into this world not to be served, but to serve. And as we come up this time of the year, and this time of the year gives us more grace from people than any other time of the year. Have you realized that? I mean, this time of the year, people are more kind than what they would usually be, unless you're shopping. And then they are more generous than what they would usually be. Everybody's looking to help somebody. And it's just kind of what this year, time of the year does. Now, unfortunately, that works usually from December 15th, 16th, 17th to December 26th. You just have a small window. And then after December 26th, the tree is coming down and it's over. Nobody cares, nobody's kind, and they're not going to give anymore. So what we want to do is we want to take advantage of this open window and then show them that we can extend this window out past December 26th and even into the new year. It's amazing when you do stuff, especially in this area, people will go, "Why'd you do that?" Anybody ever have that happen? If you have, raise your hand. So the rest of you aren't serving. Okay. So what happens is you... I'm kidding. So what happens is you do something really good and they go, "Why'd you do that?" It's what you should do. I was working down at the warehouse trying to move stuff around, and the U-Haul that this guy was using, his worker, made a turn, went around the right-hand turn, and he clipped the front end of a Beamer. And I heard it, and I look and I see the car doing this, you know, and they just kept driving. So in my mind I went, okay, I already know what's going to happen. Unless somebody says something, nobody's going to say anything. And then in my mind I'm thinking, okay, I got to work with these guys. I don't want to stir them up. I want to be a good witness. I don't want them hating me and Jesus. But if I tell on them, it's going to be ugly. So the owner comes up, not of the car, but of the rented U-Haul. Their boss comes up, and I went up to him, and I said, "Dan, you need to know this, that your guys just tore the front end of that Beamer off with the U-Haul." And, of course, he's not saved either, so it shocked him, and he came with some very descriptive languages that I'm thinking, oh, man, come on. And he'd been really nice up to that point. So he goes up and he looks at it and then he comes back and nobody says anything. The owner comes out and looks at the car. The owner's mad. And I gathered from him that he wasn't saved either. And so he looks at the car and he's colorful in the middle of the street. And I'm going, wow, this just really isn't getting good. And so all of a sudden I'm feeling the pressure of the Holy Spirit going, "John, what are you going to do? Because you're the only one that's going to say anything here, if it's going to be said." And I thought, man, what do I do? You ever been there where you go under pressure and you go, okay, listen, if I say something, all these men that I got to work with are going to hate me, which means that when we're moving this furniture out of the building, because the guy wanted me to organize it and get everything moving because he had to be out of there, and he just felt that I was a good candidate to get the job done. And so he asked me if I would do that, and that's how I started working off some of the furniture we got. And I said, man, I'm going to be at the bottom of the steps, and they're just going to accidentally drop this 300-pound chest on me and go, oh, sorry, Pastor John, I didn't realize you were there. Why don't you go tell somebody about that? And so I didn't want to put myself in that position. You know, I wanted to work with them and be an influence. And then if I went and talked to the owner, then it would completely explode, and I'm not the one that's got to pay for this. The boss has to pay for it. And so if I go to him, then what kind of problems? And all of a sudden, I feel this pressure coming on that I have to do the right thing, but I know when I do it, it's just not going to be pretty. Well, then one of the workers comes over that was in the U-Haul that hit the Beamer, and he says, because we're all standing around, and he says, the owner's calling the police. He just got off the phone. He's called the police. Now the pressure's really coming on, because if the police get there, I have to tell them what happened. What am I going to do? So I went up to the boss and I said, Dan, here's what you need to know. Your truck just wiped out that Beamer on the front end. And I'm going to do you a favor. I'm leaving. Because I have a feeling when the police get here, you're not going to tell them the truth. And I don't want to jeopardize our relationship that we're building. So since you got to pay for it, I figure you're the one that needs to know. Have a good day. And I left. I don't know what happened. But I'm imagining there is somebody not happy. Either the worker, the boss, or the owner of the Beamer is not happy. But you know, we're here to serve Christ. We're here to do things that sometimes is just not comfortable. But we still have to keep our testimony. We still have to step past that barrier that society has drawn and says, don't do this. Matter of fact, one of the guys said, he looked at me because he knew what was going to happen. He knew I had to say something. And he looked at me. And he said, you know, it's one thing to know the information, but you don't tell anybody until somebody comes to you and pries it out of you. And I went, I can't do that. Just be quiet. He said, go inside and start working. I went, dude, I can't do that. So I already knew right there this wasn't going to be good. But we still got to do what's right. Christ has called us to serve, to do what's right, even in uncomfortable situations. So what I want you guys to do is start looking for situations that you can serve in. And of course, we need to imitate Jesus. Paul talked about this in Philippians 2, 4 through 7. Now, you guys want to make notes. I don't have scripture on this yet. I mean, I have scripture. I didn't put it there, so you can make a note of it. It says, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. In the form of a bondservant. That's a doulos. It's a slave. And he says, I want you to take on the mind of Christ, and I want you to be a slave. Is it getting warm in here? So it's just me. Okay. I'll stand up here and sweat while you guys are comfortable. Okay, number one, let's look at the first point. What's that? Way to serve. There you go. God bless you. So we're going to be talking about how to create a Christmas that serves your community. Point number one, you were born to serve. You were born to serve. Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Listen, God has prepared works for us to do. God has prepared things for us to do. We all have a job. God says, listen, I have prepared things beforehand. In other words, I've already made everything ready so that when you get yourself right, when you get your mind right, when you get your heart right, when you get your desires like my desires, God says, I've got work for you to do. It's already been prepared. So when we walk around and we go, I don't know what to do. What should I do? Should I serve God? Should I do this? God says, listen up. I've already prepared everything for you to do. And if you'll seek my face, which means that you get into the Word of God, you seek Him on your face, which means you go to prayer. When you do that, God will open the doors and He will show you exactly what to do every time. Every time. I got a phone call from Pastor Ron in Brooklyn. He said, man, I need help. I gotta get this church cleaned up. What was I supposed to do? Well, hey, Ron, you know I love you, man, but I'll tell you what, because I know you desperately need help. What kind of help do you need? I just need people. People to come in and work. Well, since I know you need help now, now I know how to pray for you. I'll just pray for you, Ron. You have a good day. Right? I mean, there's serving, isn't it? No, it went, hey, you know what? 2.5 hour drive. By the way, it is a 2.5 hour drive. And if you drive even more right, it's 2 hours and 15 minutes, including stopping at McDonald's. Which we wouldn't know that because we just watched others go by us as we stopped at McDonald's. But listen, we said, I said, hey, you know what? I think we're going to do this. Not a problem. I'll be down there and I'm going to get other people to help. And we had a whole list of people going, I'll go. And I understand things happen, especially the holidays. Just so you know, open your schedule up for the first week after New Year's, because we're going to go down again. That way, just in case you couldn't do it on this trip, you can go down next trip. And next trip, there won't be any carrying. It'll just be cleaning walls and painting and scrubbing and all that. Because we already did the demolition and we did. I am not kidding you. He's like, man, I got to get this stuff off the wall, but it's going to create a huge ruckus if I get it off the wall. And I went, what, this? I'm here to help you. He goes, I'm in trouble. No, it's good, man. You're only in trouble for one Sunday. After that, they'll forget all about it. But we went down there and we helped and we served. And it made a huge difference. And the people down there, one of the guys said this. He said, I never dreamed that I would ever see this place clean again. He said, I never dreamed it would ever happen. There were 7 cars in the backyard. Anybody know how big backyards are in New York City, in Brooklyn? Yeah, hello. There were 7 cars back there. The pastor thought there were only 3. He said, can you believe it? We found 7 cars back there. I thought there were only 3. And in my mind, I'm going, can I believe he really just said that? We're talking the backyard. This room is bigger than backyards in Brooklyn. And he had 7 cars back there. So what happens, we get down there and we clean it all up. And he says, some of the men were going, I've seen that car set there for 18 years. And it's going to be out of here next week. I never thought I'd see the day. Walk into the foyer. And you're going to see pictures at the end where trash is just piled up. We had to make like makeshift ladders and climb up stuff to get to the top and pull it down and just work our way from the top down to get it out. This pastor who's been there for 34 years walked in. He goes, I don't ever remember the last time seeing the floor in this room. And I'm thinking, are you serious? That's not being a good servant. It's not taking care of God's house. And you're not serving people. But he wasn't, because he cluttered up God's house where he couldn't even witness to them and serve them. So what he thought he was doing, he wasn't doing. We were born to serve, but we have to keep it in balance. And that's what I want you to get. Keep your serving in balance. And when we serve Christ, it has to be in balance. It says, I believe I could have the most meaningful Christmas ever, not by accumulating more stuff, but by increasing our level of service to others. Quit being selfish. That simplifies it. Jesus told us the greatest commandment of all was to love God, and that second, we were to love others in Mark 12, 28 through 31. How do you love others but to serve them? To be a part of their life? How are you going to get to know somebody unless you become a part of their life? I could have easily said, hey man, now that I know you need help, I'll pray for you. But I didn't. I made a deal with him that we were going to Jackson's Hole. If I come down and do all this, we're going out to Jackson's Hole. He said, that's fair enough. I still would have went, but man, it was so glad to kick that Jackson's Hole in there. And you're going to see that where we ate for lunch. No, Brooklyn. The hamburger joint. Have you been there? Oh, man, I'm going to tell you what. That place is to die for. Actually, it'll kill you, but it's good food in the process. It was a couple of times as we were eating our burger, we had to do our own CPR to get our heart pumping, to get it going. It was good. I'll go back in another year when my body is ready for it, for that kind of shock. So we'll never fulfill the Great Commission found in Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Until we first live the Great Commission where we're at, or the Great Commandment, which is serving others. The early Christians, this is just an illustration I'm going to give. The early Christians were deeply aware that they were born to serve. Now here's what happened. In AD AD 251, a plague swept across the Roman Empire, which claimed 5,000 lives per day. It was a plague that claimed 5,000 lives per day. The non-Christians in the Roman Empire fled the cities. If they had the financial means to do it, they left town. Even doctors abandoned their patients and ran. Others deserted the sick, casting the half-dead into the streets and piling the dead like garbage with no proper burial. The Christians of the time reacted differently, said Dionysius, the bishop of Alexandria. He says this, they held fast to each other and visited the sick fearlessly and ministered to them continually, serving them in Christ, and they died with them most joyfully. Truly, the best of our brethren departed from life in this manner. And then when we read 1 John 3:16, it says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Most of us wouldn't give a piece of bread sometimes. We wouldn't give up a parking spot at the mall sometimes. We would stand there and fight for it. I had a guy, I went to pull in, and I'm sitting there waiting, and I go to pull in, and this guy comes in and whips right in front of me. Now, I just wanted to get out and just teach him how to park that car all over again. But my girls were with me, praise God. And I just backed up and moved to another spot. But I mean, it was a spot, I'm sitting there, and they're like, shoo. And I'm pulling into the spot, and they come in and cut me off. We're talking a parking spot. What are you willing to hold on to, or what are you willing to give to serve Christ? What do you have at home that's just been sitting there? And you go, you know what, I could give this away, it's of absolutely no use to me, but I'm going to leave it there because one day I might use it. How many have those one-day things sitting around? Yeah, one day. 10 years later, we open up the box and we go, man, and this is what we do. If I'm wrong, you tell me. We open up the box, look in there, and we see that thing that's a one-day from 10 years ago, and then our comment is this. I'd throw that away right now, but just as soon as I do, I'm going to need it tomorrow. So we close the box up and we put it on the shelf. We do that with everything we have and everything we are. Well, I'd help here, but man, I might be needed over there. So I'll hold out. Because over there will be more fun than over here. I have this, but I just sure as I'd give it away. Tomorrow I'm going to need it. And the crazy thing is, you've already went out and bought that thing 3 times because you forgot you had it every time you needed it. We do that. We have got to serve. We have got to put ourselves out there and serve others. Number two, you were born to serve locally. You were born to serve locally. Matthew 25:40 says, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. And if you were to go read Matthew for the sake of time, we can't do that today, but in Matthew 25:31-40, and you might want to write that down, Matthew 25:31-40, he clearly states that we're to care for our community. And you know, everybody gets excited to leave and serve in other countries and everything, and that's great, but listen to some of the statistics. And this was taken from 07 to 08. It says, in the United States, there are 2,483 children born into poverty every day. Every day. One every 35 seconds. In the United States. The United States has the highest poverty rate in the industrialized world. 47 million Americans that have no health care are not in this position due to laziness. In fact, 71% of those families are working full-time and yet still cannot afford health care. There are 36.5 million Americans who live below the poverty line, more than the entire population of Canada. In America. There are 1.4 million homeless people in America in need of help. In America. The land of the free, land of the opportunity. And yet, an earthquake hits in Haiti and everybody jumps on board and sends everything over there, which is fantastic. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not condemning any of giving. As a matter of fact, the next point is you were born to serve globally. So, I mean, you know, I'm going to be talking about it. But think about what's going on in America. Listen, we got families right now that the economy is just crushing. Now, some of them are struggling and suffering pretty bad due to their own poor decisions. But some of them, the economy's collapsed. Things have fallen apart, and there's nothing they can do because what they had, it was like, oh, I was going to pay it, I was going to do this, I was going to do that, now I'm unemployed. What do I do now? How many people went from being employed and being able to help, now they really need our help? And we close our eyes, or we go, oh, now we'll help way over there, because why? Well, we don't want to get involved here, because here we got to actually look somebody in the eye. Here we actually got to talk to them. Here we actually got to show some compassion. Here we actually got to get involved in somebody's life and give them our phone number so they can call me at 11 o'clock at night. Let's serve Haiti. Guys, we need to be local. We need to serve our community. We need to serve our neighbors. We need to serve our family and friends in church. We need to help one another. And so what I want to do is challenge you this Christmas. This Christmas, don't be so gung-ho to get all you can get. Because that's our mentality at Christmas time. I can get this and I can get that and I can get that and I can get that and I can get that. I was even asked, I don't know who asked me, it really doesn't matter. I was asked, what does my wife want for Christmas? And honestly, I don't know. I don't know. We don't talk about wants. We talk about what we can do. Here's what I know is a given. Slippers and sweaters. She's always going to spill something on her sweater and ruin it, and she wears out her slippers. It's a given every year. And so if I get her slippers and sweaters, she's a happy camper. Until next year. Don't ever give her a white sweater with chocolate ice cream. Don't do it. The sweater has never made it yet. But I don't know what my wife wants. Not because I don't love her, because I love her deeply. But because our concern is not what can we get that we don't need, but what can we do to serve you? What can we do to serve the community? What can we do to serve somebody else? What can we do to make a difference to get into the community? I've been here 4.5 years and have not figured out yet how to get into your homes. Oh, your homes is easy. I can invite myself and you go, yeah, but what about the lost person? They don't even want me in their community. You're a pastor? Move. I'll help you. It's the only help I'll ever get. What can we do? We got to start being creative. Instead of going, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. We need to build a new tradition on figuring out how to serve our community every year. Here's a few ideas for you. Get involved in your community's foster child gift drive. Now, we have some around here. They call them different things, but it's adopting a child for Christmas. How about wrapping toys with your kids and then deliver them to these places? Or identify a needy family in your church or in your neighborhood. Donate a Christmas dinner. Donate presents to them. Do it in person or through anonymously. Hey, you know what? Because some people, pride gets in the way. That's a sinful thing, by the way. I just want you all to know. But it does, and so we try to work with it. If you know somebody has a need, come to me. Come to me if you want the church to get involved. It won't happen any other way, okay? But we're more than happy to get involved. Last year we bought Christmas presents for 20 children last year. 20 needy children. Thanksgiving this year, 32 baskets, sorry, I keep wanting to increase the number. I'll be at 100. I'll be at 100 by this time next year. 32 baskets to needy families. This is a giving church. We'll put it together. We don't have a problem doing that. How about go to a nursing home? That would be pretty cool, wouldn't it? Do you know how many people don't ever get to see friends or family or anybody, and they're lonely? Go to a nursing home and visit. Take a gift or meals to homebound elderly in your neighborhood, or help them decorate, or help them bake. Go to the elderly and help them. You say, well, I don't know who they are. We can find some. I think there's a list up on who told me about a list one time. We can find elderly. We'll do it. We can call the fire department, the police station. They know where the elderly live. That's not a problem. Volunteer to help serve food at the homeless shelter. Make gifts together for family members, teachers, friends. Teach your kids that it is not the cost of the gift, but the spirit of the heart that counts. Guys, serve. What a Christmas that would be if we all thought of somebody else rather than us. Number three, you were born to serve globally. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Matthew 5:14 says, you are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. If you're in an absolute dark room and you turn on the light, you will be seen. Your light will be seen every time. Every time. And he says, you're that light. And I want you not only to serve others, but I want you to be the light that's set in a city, that's set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Empower your children. Let them know that they can make a difference. Austin Gutwein was his name. He was 9 years old. Austin became aware of the needs of millions of orphan children in Africa through an African pen pal. He decided he wasn't too young to do something about it. He's 9 years old. He says, hey, I'm not too young. I can make a difference. This is what he did. His solution was simple. He would shoot hoops and ask others to donate money for every basket that he made. The first year, Austin shot free throws all day and raised $3,000. 9 years old. He says, I can make a difference. The second year, he set a goal to have 1,000 more kids join him and raised over $38,000 for African orphans. His second year. Because he realized there was more in numbers. So let's get 1,000 kids to do what I'm doing. In only his third year shooting hoops, Austin raised enough money to build a school in an African village. Austin calls his organization Hoops of Hope. By the way, you can go there, hoopsofhope.org. And he partners with World Vision to make a difference. Since that first year, Austin's vision has grown. Now there are other chapters and events all over the nation shooting hoops to help other poor children of Africa. He started at 9 years old. Within 3 years, he built a school, raised enough money to build a school. He and everybody that joined him. He thought of somebody else. It's open-handed giving. It's open-handed saying, it's not mine, it's yours. What can I do? We have a tendency to be, there's a monkey over in Africa that they catch. And the natives, or everybody goes over there and tries to catch these monkeys, and the natives can do it at will. And here's what they do. They take a gourd, and they take the top of it off, and they put food down in to the gourd. And they make just a small hole in it. Then they seal the lid. Well, what happens is the monkey comes up, because of course he smells the food, and he gets his hand in the gourd. And he gets a handful of food. Now he can't get his hand out of the gourd because the hole is big enough to get it in, but once he makes a fist, he can't get his hand out. But the monkey is so into himself and wants what he wants that he will get caught every time he gets captured because he absolutely refuses to let go of the food for his safety and freedom. And guys, you know why we struggle a lot of times? We're the monkey. And we absolutely refuse to let go of what we have because we're afraid to give it away or to see somebody else enjoy it. There was a guy in North Carolina. I was looking to buy a convertible 55 Chevrolet Bel Air two-door. I'm going, man, original engine, original transmission, original wheels, not tires. And I seen this car, and I'm like, man, I want that car. So I go see the guy. No, I'm not selling it. Okay. Now, we were there 16 and a half years. When I left there, he still refused to sell the car, but at this point, nobody wanted it. Because by this point, it had a maple growing up through, it literally had the tree had started growing from under the car, up through the floor of the car, and then out of the top of the car. It was a shade tree, 55. But he was going to keep it. Refused to get rid of it. Refused to let somebody else enjoy it. And you know the crazy thing is? That car is still sitting there today. And it's been 24 years later. The car is still there. Refusing to let somebody enjoy it. Guys, I just want you to know that if you want to enjoy life, then you serve others, because that's what you were born for. You serve them globally. I want to challenge you also to get ready for a mission trip. Go get your visas, your passports, because what I want to do is I want the church to go on a missions trip within the next year to 2 years, no more than two, to China. We have missionaries all over, and we have them in China. We have them in Turkey. We have, these are all friends of mine that would have no problem. We got missionaries that we support in Amsterdam. We can go anywhere. I want to challenge you to do that. Go to Africa. Go to Kenya. We can do that. See that there are people that don't live as good as we do, even in our worst situations. People don't live as good as we do. I want you to get the mindset to serve others. Don't be the monkey that loses his life because he refuses to let go of a handful of food. Don't be that. I want you to serve. I want everyone to stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed, and I'm just going to take a moment for this. Today's been a pretty low-key day, even for me, but I want you to think about where you're at. I want you to think about who you are. Who are you in Christ? I want you to think about the difference you can make in somebody's life right now. Somebody, anybody. It doesn't matter if it's friend, family, foe. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you know them or you don't. But think of somebody you can make a difference in their life. Then I want you to take a moment and pray about how God could use you to help somebody in need, help that person in need. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and I know this message had nothing to do with salvation, but I also know that without salvation, you can't be Christ-like. And I know without salvation, 9 times out of 10, you'll always be like the monkey. You won't let go of what's yours because you feel it's yours. And one thing I know for sure, that without Jesus, you'll never go to heaven. And you won't have the blessings of God on your life. And so I'm going to take a moment, if you're here today, and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you pray this prayer. But listen, the prayer does not get you to heaven. It is not the words that you speak that get you to heaven. It is your heart toward those words that you speak. So quietly in your heart, if you wish to receive Christ as your Savior, if you're tired of doing things on your own and you're ready for God to get involved, you pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I do wrong. I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I've messed up. I know that I've messed up many times here lately. But Lord, right now I ask that you forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean, white as snow, that I would be presentable before the Father. If you prayed that prayer and you asked Christ to come into your life, that's all it takes.